I really have to ask you about the hair in your work, because hairs seem to be a, if you pardon the pun, a running theme.
Yes.
You must have been asked about this before, but where do the hairs come from? Tell me about them.
Well, I grew up in the country. I was born in Devon. I grew up in Mid-Bucks at a time before Mid-Bucks was kind of concreted over. And I used to see brown hairs, and they always struck me, even before I knew this, as utterly unlike rabbits. They struck me as kind of strange, witchy critters, which, of course, they are. I later then discovered that the hair really was the witch's familiar. I think the confusion about it being a cat, or black cat usually, came about because the huntsman's name for the hair is Puss. In any event, Isabel Gowdy, famously burned as a witch, had that little line of confession, which went, you know, I shall go into a hare with a cry and a scream, unmuckle care. Then after I left school, I went to work in a bookshop, and I came across a book by a guy called John Layard called The Lady of the Hare. And he was a psychoanalyst. In fact, he was Peter Redgrave's psychoanalyst, I think. I hope I'm not traducing Redgrave there. He'd written a book, half of which was a psychoanalytical study of a woman who was having hair dreams. The other half was a cultural history of the hare. I just came across it completely by accident, and it fascinated me. I was gripped by it, and I was gripped by the hare. And I was fascinated by the fact that I always think of the hare as in the feminine. She's the feminine principle to me, that she crops up in virtually every culture, and at every time in every culture. The Chinese have a hare cult and a hare figure in their mythologies. The Saxon moon goddess wears a hare's capon and carries a silver disc, which refers to the moon. Because most cultures, when they look at the moon, don't see a man in the moon, they see a hare. So the hare is linked to silver coins and silver discs and so on. Anyway, all this buried itself in my subconscious, I guess, and surfaced in ways that I could neither prevent nor wanted to. So the hare started sort of elbowing her way into my work, and she kept cropping up as an image of almost of misrule, certainly of witchiness, certainly of as a sort of lone figure and as a trickster. And the hare is a trickster. In lots of cultures, the hare is a trickster. And then she managed to get herself center stage in the second sequence in Marriage, this sequence called Lepus. So I think it was simply finding Layard's book and having a half-formed interest anyway. And I've been dipping into that book for years now. I mean, I bought it when I was, I don't know, 19 years old. And it wasn't until I came to, found that she was becoming a bit more dominant and wanting her in sequence, that I saw that the section headings in Layard's book were titles. They're not chapter headings, they're just section headings. So I cherry-picked the section headings that, they cherry-picked themselves. I mean, I just found, you know, resonances in certain of those section headings. So she's a little token, I suppose. Well, she's quite a big token in my life, although she seems to have faded a little. But she does reference herself quite often.